During his first campaign for the presidency, Abraham Lincoln uttered these words, "I know that there is a God and that he hates injustice and slavery. I see the storm coming, and I know that his hand is in it. If he has a place and work for me, and I think he has, I believe I am ready. I am nothing, but truth is everything."
I'm here this morning because of my birthday. I had not a thing in the world to do with it. I would like to think, maybe my wife would like to think, it is foreordained from the foundation of the world. But I wouldn't assume that responsibility. I remember years ago when I was a student in Louisville Seminary. I was going one summer of 1912, that's a little bit backward now, to Blue Ridge, where there was a YMCA conference being held, and Dr. E.M. Petit Sr. was teaching a Bible class, and he asked one of the students to read a passage, and this student got up and read from the King James Version. And Dr. Petit is one of these fellows that would always have fun out of everything. Then he looked over his glasses at that fellow and said, "Why in the world do you read an out-of-date book like that? Why, don't you know that's out of date?" And he said, "If you're going to have a Bible at all, you better keep it up to date." And so that's the reason I'm reading this morning out of the Revised Standard Version. I looked in the front of this book and found out that the New Testament was translated in 1946 and the Old Testament in 1952. So this is the latest. I'm reading from the book of Isaiah, 32nd chapter, the 1st to the 8th verses. "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule in justice. Each will be like a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, like streams of water in a dry place, like the shade of a great rock in a weary land. When the eyes of those who see will not be closed, the ears of those who hear will hearken, the mind of Rash will have good judgment, and the tongue of the stammerers will speak readily and distinctly. The fool will no more be called noble, nor the knave said to be honorable. For the fool speaks folly, and his mind plots iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error concerning the Lord, to leave the craving of the hungry unsatisfied, to deprive the thirsty of drink. The knavery of the knaves are evil. He devises wicked devices to ruin the poor with lying words, even when the plea of the needy is right. But he who is noble devises noble things. By noble things he stands."
Let us pray together. Almighty God, thou hast made us, and made us for thyself. In thee we find rest, and until we rest in thee, we know no rest. Thou hast called us and brought us to this hour, to this place. With our brothers and sisters here and on every continent, we join in praising thee for thy goodness and loving kindness, and with them we lift up our hearts in prayer before thee. O God of the nations, hear us. In thy presence, most holy God, we see ourselves as never before, in our sin and in the light of thy purposes for us. Hear before thee, it grieves us that we have grieved thee by our anxiety, our greed, our heartlessness, and our hopelessness. We have sought to use one another and to use thee to advance our own private gain. We have chosen the way of ease and have sought to save ourselves without thee and from thee. O merciful Father, forgive us. To this place of worship we come, O Lord, with cares unnamed and unnumbered. In sorrow or doubt, in fear or guilt, in loneliness or pain, in thy presence we find relief or strength according to thy wisdom. Share with each of us now, we pray, the unmeasured treasures of thy grace to fit our need, and bind us in fellowship with suffering and hungry humanity throughout this community and in all the world. O God of bounteous goodness, help us. In the hours of crisis and in the dreary round of daily toil, we need thee, our Father. For men at battle stations and for their families who wait at home, for the leaders of government who now are weighing grave decisions, for the stewards of heroic tasks, and for the ministers in lowly places, we beseech thee. To our duties, match thy strength, Lord God, and lead us in the ways of righteousness and peace. For thy name's sake, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is a special joy and honor to share this pulpit today with the one who read our scripture lesson, Dr. J.B. Hipps, Professor Emeritus of Missions. Today celebrates his 81st birthday. After long years of missionary service in China, he and Mrs. Hipps returned to this community to share in the life of the infant seminary in its opening years. His physical vigor is not greatly diminished. His joy in life and his concern for the seminary are not abated in the least. I thank him and Mrs. Hipps for sharing this day with us, and I speak without hesitation for you in wishing him a happy birthday and many returns of the day. In commenting upon the passage in Isaiah, which you heard a few moments ago, George Adam Smith had this to say. In the East, the following phenomenon is often observed. Where the desert touches a river valley or oasis, the sand is in a continual state of drift from the wind. And it is this drift which is the real cause of the barrenness of such portions of the desert, at least as abut upon the fertile land. For under the rain, or by infiltration of the river, plants often spring up through the sand, and there is sometimes promise of considerable fertility. It never lasts. Down comes the periodic drift, and life is stunted or choked out. But set down a rock on the sand and see the difference its presence makes. After a few showers, to the leeward side of this rock, some blades will spring up. If you have patience, you will see in time a garden. How has the boulder produced this? Simply by arresting the drift. Now that is exactly how great men benefit human life. A great man serves his generation, serves the whole race, by arresting the drift. Deadly forces, blind and fatal as the desert wind, sweep down human history. In the beginning it was the dread of nature, the cold blast which blows from every quarter on the barbarian, and might have stunted men to animals. But into some soul God breathed a great breath of freedom, and the man defied nature. Nature has had her revenge by burying the rebel in oblivion. On the distant horizon of history, we can see merely in some old legend the evidence of his audacity. But the drift was arrested. Behind the event, men took shelter. In the shelter grew free and learned to think out what the great resister had felt. When Isaiah, while all his countrymen were rushing down the mad, steep ways of politics, carried off by the only powers that were as yet known in these ways, fear of death and greed to be on the side of the strongest, when Isaiah stood still amid that panic rush and uttered the memorable words, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, in returning and rest shall ye be saved," he stopped one of the most dangerous drifts in history and created a shelter for those spiritual graces which have always been the beauty of the state and are now coming to be recognized as its strength. Today, February 12, marks still another birthday beside the one we have already noted. In 1809 was born the child who was later to become the people's president. Nurtured in hardship and schooled in adversity, Abraham Lincoln was in the White House when this nation experienced its sorest trials in the agony of civil war. A man of simplicity, integrity, clarity of thought and of speech, with moral sensitivity and, what is more, moral courage to fulfill the imperatives which he heard from within. A man with the ability to laugh and to laugh at himself. Devout in his own way, here was a man who stood against the drift of the times and formed a shelter for multitudes of smaller, weaker men in his day and since that day. With little to go on but a sense of right and a dogged determination to do the right, he loosened the shackles of slavery while holding together the tenuous union of the states. For him and for all those whom God raises to places of leadership in times of crisis, we give thanks. On November 19, 1863, he spoke at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, in the dedication ceremonies at a military cemetery. He spoke these words without little fanfare or acknowledgement, but immediately thereafter, the public began to take note of the eloquence and the power of the Gettysburg Address. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that the nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Give to us in these troubled times, our Father, a sense of direction, a sureness that thou dost lead, even in spite of our unwillingness and uncertainty. We pray that thou wilt speak to us moment by moment and day by day the words of reassurance and guidance that will set us anew on ways of service and peace. Give to us joy as we seek to follow thee and open before our eyes thy ways. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.